Welcome to Sporadic Phantoms. My name is Robin.
And I'm Stevie.
We're back to continue the investigation.
And you should know us by now.
In season one, we began investigating a mysterious logging project in Los Madres National Forest that turned
out— Robin, seriously? There's way too much to go over in a 60-second recap.
They need to know how we got here if they're going to help us.
Yeah, but it would take a whole episode to explain all the events of the entire last season.
All right.
Listeners, if this is your first time listening to Sporadic Phantoms, just stop now, pause, go back to season one, episode one, and start from there.
Yeah, please just catch up. There. So, now you know that Kyle betrayed us and went MIA, and he framed his great escape as if he was whisked away by a gorilla. Sure, it's funny, but it's also not funny.
I know. We haven't seen or heard from him in months.
Or Elizabeth, or Nancy Candleton, of all people. The last time anyone has seen any of them was that night when Kyle and whoever he was with destroyed the studio.
You know what happened with money being taken from the sharing and how Elizabeth was involved and how the hacker group Share the Truth was really behind, well, everything.
Including Kyle's disappearance.
And we know you haven't heard from us in a while. You've probably been wondering if we'd given up.
Or if we wrote ourselves into a hole or given up on the podcast format entirely.
But we're finding a way. We just needed time to understand how to move forward, where to look next, how to continue the investigation after all that's happened.
And now, we're ready.
Things are going to change.
I don't know about you, Stevie, but I'm feeling refreshed, optimistic.
Motivated.
Yeah. It's good to be back. So, hi.
Hi.
Here we are, back in the studio. Not the old one, obviously.
We're in our new studio in the sharing's basement. But for a basement, it's actually pretty nice.
Yeah, it's an improvement from the old one. I mean, better soundproofing with the egg crate foam stuff on the walls.
New computers, new mics, furniture, and a mini fridge.
You know, I thought that I'd feel uncomfortable coming back down here on a regular basis because, well, my memories of this basement are from when I was here with Elizabeth and that weird Be You Now stuff that she did. I still have dreams about that, even though I've had some time to process. Doing the last episode of season one down here was a little jarring, but now it feels much better than I thought it would. Probably because it looks so different now. It's hard to believe this is even the same place.
And with Elizabeth gone.
Yeah.
So as you probably know, the sharing set up all this new stuff down here. We recorded our last episode of season one and then took our hiatus. But the sharing had put in the effort to set up this space because we all knew we were far from over. And we were going to continue making a podcast in some way.
So, all right, let's just get this out of the way. Even though the sharing has provided us with new equipment to make our podcast.
Because let's be real, none of that stuff was insured.
You need to know that beyond that and letting us use their space, the sharing is not sponsoring Sporadic Phantoms financially. The sharing also doesn't have any sway over the content of this podcast. It's a Sporadic Phantoms, Robin and Stevie production. No one is controlling us.
If anything, we're just a podcast in residence. Once the investigation is over, I'm sure some other group will use the studio for another project.
Another thing, in case you're all worried about us, the new studio is much more secure than the last one. You'd have to get through many more security measures to get down here than our last studio, which, well, it was just in some guy's attic, really.
The files on our computers are also much more secure. So I don't think it'll be so easy to delete our files or to hack us.
Basically, we aren't worried. Sure, we're admitting that we're located in the basement of the Sharing, but let's just say that if anyone from Share the Truth wants to tear the place up again, then, well, we've got the place locked down and our defense is up.
And there are no windows down here, so we don't have to worry about spying hawks.
Good one.
None of that ridiculousness anymore.
I mean, come on. Oh.
Okay. Let's get serious now. You all may be asking, what have we been doing in our time away from the investigation?
Well, it hasn't entirely been time away.
But some of it was. A few months ago, right after all that stuff went down, and after we recorded and released our last episode, we decided we needed a break before we dove back into this.
And some of you have been asking, why didn't we involve the police? But actually, we did. We contacted them right after the old studio was destroyed. So a big impetus for our hiatus was that we just let the police do their thing for a while.
I laid low. I got involved with Maddie's soccer team, did some freelance work, helped out with some local Sharing events, tried to clear my head. Robin and I spent a little time apart. We have different interests within the Sharing, you know.
I went on some international trips with the Sharing to help them establish roots for their new centers, did some photography and graphic design for the Sharing's new website, redid our website, you know, normal stuff. But okay, here's the thing about us involving the police. Stevie and I decided that we are not pressing charges against Kyle for vandalizing the studio. See, he most likely knows more about Share the Truth than we do, and he can help us. We don't have any intention of getting him arrested.
When we went to the police, we played them the manipulated audio of Kyle's great escape from the Sharing, the fight between Elizabeth and Nancy, etc., and they just didn't really know what to make of that.
And because we also gave them the documents that Richard Dolan had found connecting Elizabeth with the Dapson Project, the police obtained a warrant to search Elizabeth's apartment. They didn't find anything of interest there. But her laptop had been with her at the Sharing the day that she went missing, so the police were able to search it. They found some files, which turned out to be other documents related to the stuff Dolan found. I mean, he's good. It's classified evidence at this point, though. Believe me, we would share them with you all if we could.
And Elizabeth's apartment had been untouched. As in, they said she didn't go back to her apartment to pack a bag or anything before she disappeared. But then again, we actually don't know if she's still alive.
As for Kyle, we reported him as a missing person. At first, the cops did the things that they normally do. Checked all the local hospitals. No Kyle. There was no license plate for them to track because Kyle doesn't own a vehicle besides his recumbent bike. And that was still locked up outside the studio. So either he left on foot, or by some unknown vehicle, or by some other means. The cops monitored outside his apartment for a few days to see if he'd show up. Same with Nancy's house. And if she had some accomplice with a getaway vehicle, there's been no sign of it. No sign of Kyle, Nancy, or Elizabeth since the livestream incident. None of them ever returned to their homes. Kyle didn't even stop by to water his plants.
His poor urban garden is dead.
The cops are saying that the bottom line is Elizabeth was clearly involved in some sort of illegal activity. Illegal activity that involved a lot of money. But here's what's frustrating. More recently, the cops have stopped searching for Kyle. They say that there's no proof that Kyle had anything to do with Elizabeth's involvement with the Dapson Project, which, to be honest, started before he ever met her, or knew anything about the Sharing at all. And they can't prove that he disappeared involuntarily. They say that they can't trust what they heard from Kyle's livestream broadcast, which, honestly, I get. And it's not a crime to go missing.
So, they just filed some paperwork.
And even if we did press charges against Kyle for the studio thing, they're not going to waste their time and our tax dollars going on a manhunt for what is essentially a few thousand dollars in property damage. They're more interested in finding Elizabeth because of those documents. Hard evidence. If anything, Kyle was a possible witness to something. And Nancy was a wild card.
Let's be honest. We don't really know Nancy's whole deal. That audio footage when she supposedly saved the day was so doctored, we can't tell whose side she was really on. She may have been planning something with Kyle and share the truth. That whole fight could have been to try to cover Elizabeth escaping. But we don't know if Nancy's just a good person who got sucked in to share the truth like Kyle did.
The main problem with all this is that the police are vastly underestimating the threat that share the truth poses. And they don't realize how much danger Kyle could be in.
But we know because of what we've been through. So this is why we need to investigate again. We need to take this into our own hands. The police have proven to be limited in what they can do. They aren't willing to take the risks we're willing to take. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They for sure haven't done all they could do. And not only have they stopped looking for Kyle, but they keep running into dead ends with Nancy and Elizabeth. And they've asked us tons of questions already. But it's been months and they haven't found anything new. So we know the best thing that we can do is try to find Kyle ourselves. And at least make sure he's okay. Before it's too late.
We want to find our missing friend. And we just want to talk. Now, maybe he's hiding out somewhere and we know that could be anywhere. He could have fled the state. He could still be in contact with Share the Truth. He could even know where they are. But he's probably afraid of being arrested. Or afraid because of whatever propaganda they've told him, but...
But what we're really worried about is that he could be working with Share the Truth against his will. They could be blackmailing him. Or worse.
The point is, we came back now because we need to. So our mission for this season of Sporadic Phantoms is to, number one, make sure everyone is safe. And number two, find and stop the Share the Truth Collective. Now, you all need to know that the investigation is changing drastically this time around. We'll be focusing on a lot of searching and finding, which is a big difference from what we did last season.
Sneaking around, recording without consent, hiding who we were, trying to infiltrate?
Well, we're still investigating, like we were, but we don't need to sneak around anymore. Not really. No more hiding, as Elizabeth would say. We realized that the very nature of what we're doing needs to change.
Part of that is based on what we now know. We've already thoroughly investigated the sharing and know that our suspicion was totally misplaced. We know for a fact that the actual threat we are facing comes from Share the Truth.
There could be more attacks on the horizon, targeting the sharing specifically. And unfortunately, there already have been more attacks. You might remember one of them from the news. It happened right after we went on hiatus.
We are following breaking news from downtown Santa Barbara. Earlier today, several local businesses along Laguna Boulevard and the surrounding downtown area were attacked and looted by unidentified vandals. Firefighters and police raced to the scene, and they are saying that our neighbor news station, KEYT, was one of the establishments hit by the destruction. Field correspondent Alexis Morrison is live at the scene and gathering the latest details. Alexis, you just finished speaking with a police lieutenant.
That's right, Courtney. I'm coming to you live from just outside the McQueen Building, where the KEYT studio is located here in downtown Santa Barbara. Just hours ago, the KEYT studio, as well as a Barnes & Noble, a nearby hair salon, sporting goods store, a bank, a smoke shop, a copy print store, a gym, and a hardware store, were all vandalized and looted by a group of individuals who police are saying were wearing disguises. All of the streets here have been blocked off as police are investigating and have begun a search for these attackers. And just about an hour ago, a small explosion was reported in a newly constructed office building just 3 blocks away from here, on Grand Avenue, which is suspected to be related. Police do not have anyone in custody, and no casualties have been reported at this time, but we are still learning about this incident and will expect to gather more information as the day goes on. Back to you.
Thank you, Alexis. We'll keep you updated as we hear more about the situation.
Yeah. Remember that? It may have just been a blip in the news cycle, but people in Santa Barbara remember. Well, we have reason to believe that it was all Share the Truth's doing. See, what the news didn't mention is that all of those local businesses were either run by members of the Sharing or an employee who happened to also be a member of the Sharing was working there at the time. Hedrick's wife, Lisa Chapman, was the co-owner of the salon that was damaged. And as it turned out, an elderly man even died at the incident at the news station. It was truly, truly an awful episode.
Just really, really bad.
Honestly, I think the worst one so far.
I mean, what were they thinking with that one?
So that's what we know. And then there's what we don't know. Is the Sharing Share the Truth's only target? Do we know what Share the Truth could do next? Not exactly. It's a precarious situation. They could retaliate in even bigger ways, and it could be against the general public. Or at least the general public could be collateral damage. It's yet another reason why our motivations for finding them go beyond just trying to defend the Sharing.
And while Share the Truth could be a bigger network, we know that at least some of their members are local to Santa Barbara because they've been physically present, helping Kyle destroy the studio, impersonating catering workers at the Sharing, destroying local businesses. So Share the Truth as a whole could even be based here. The danger is closer to home than you think.
So the stakes are bigger this time. And so, here's an even bigger thing that's changing with the investigation. We are asking you, our listeners, to actively help us find Kyle, but also any sign of Nancy or Elizabeth, to follow our podcast and become involved in the investigation and be on our side. And sure, you were with us last time, but we are asking you to be part of this more than before, to be on the lookout, to report anything you find, anything you see, even if what you see seems strange or unusual. Because we know that's how Share the Truth likes to come across, at least. And don't worry, we're going to tell you how you can help.
The Sharing already has their eyes and ears out for any sign of these missing people. But you don't have to be a member of the Sharing to help us, or even live near Santa Barbara necessarily. So, how can you help us exactly? How else are things going to be different this time around? Well, we've set up some things that make it possible for all of us to work collectively, and we'll let you know all about it right after these messages.
Quick disclaimer, the political views expressed in the following advertisement do not reflect the opinions of Sporadic Phantoms.
I'm Frank Hallowell, owner of Frank's Safari Land and Putt-Putt Golf, and Taxidermy Lounge of Roadside Mega Superstore! We've been a Santa Barbara County Family Fun Institution ever since 1956, back when my father, Frank Sr., started hunting animals in the back of our property. But then he realized, why not put them in cages and charge people to look at them? That's when he stumbled upon a gold mine! And Frank's Safari Land and Putt-Putt Golf and Taxidermy Lounge of Roadside Mega Superstore was born! Don't waste your money going anywhere else. Our animals may not have spacious habitats like the liberal elitists give them at the gardens, but they've got personality. Or at least they used to. We got lions, tigers, bears, oh my, roar. But don't worry, folks, they're all behind sturdy chicken wire. Just remember to sign the waiver and watch your fingers. Visit our taxidermy lounge and see the animals who didn't make the cut. stay for a friendly round of putt-putt golf, overlooking our alligator pond. If a ball falls in, we cannot be held liable for your safety.
You signed the waiver. Play the clip. Hey, play the clip. What do we got here? It's Frank Hallowell and his first safari land. Isn't that nice? Okay. We love Frank, don't we? Frankie's a good guy. We like Frank. And Frank liked us. He wants us to say, don't forget to stop by our MAGA superstore and buy a t-shirt or 12. We're the only MAGA superstore still in operation in all of Santa Barbara County. We would like a little bit more. We're going to get to work on that. But thanks so much, Mr. Hallowell, for doing the one, because we like that. We say, lock her up. We like to say, lock her up. Just like we've got over 150 exotic creatures locked up and on display.
We've still got to pay for the wall repairs from the incident. Once we repair the walls, our freak show will be back in business. So come and spend a great day with your family and ours. Frank's Safari Land and Putt-Putt Golf and Taxidermy Lounge and Roadside MAGA Superstore. You can tell your kids it's the gardens. They won't know the difference.
Kyle and I may have had our disagreements. We may not always see eye to eye, but that's just always been our dynamic. And it's like I said in the past, he's like a brother. So both Stevie and I know him well, really well. But believe it or not, we aren't his only friends.
After we realized the police weren't going to do anything about Kyle and after the whole studio incident, we got back together to investigate. The first thing we did was try to reach out to Kyle's other friends we knew. We made a list of every mutual friend that we could think of and just started calling down the list. Hey, Aiden? It's Stevie.
Hey, long time no see. Or no talk.
Yeah, so, hey, this is kind of important. Did you listen to our podcast at all, Sporadic Phantoms?
Oh, like your guys' film collective? No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, we're a film collective, but, like, it's a podcast. Audio format. No video this time.
Oh. Yeah, sorry. I haven't listened to it then.
Okay, then did you know Kyle's missing?
What? No.
Yeah. We're trying to gather any information, like, when you saw him last, if you've seen him lately. Robin and I are worried about him.
Did you report it to the police?
They haven't exactly been the best help.
Yeah, figures. Well, the last time I saw him was... Well, I hadn't hung out with him for, like, almost a year. And we kind of lost touch. But, I mean, I figured he was still around.
Right. But he went MIA a few months ago. You know, it'd help if you'd listen to the podcast to hear what happened. The last time you saw him, did he mention anything about our investigation or a group he was involved with or anything he didn't want anyone else to know? Did he mention anything about wild animals or anything strange? You know, conspiracy theory stuff.
Wild animals?
Long story, but we think Kyle was kind of losing it and got wrapped up with some dangerous people.
Well,
what?
So, like, over a year ago, we saw each other at a bike meetup. I remember he was telling me that he was getting involved with something. It seemed really important to him. Something environmental?
He was probably referring to our investigation. Things started out that way. Environmental.
Maybe. He was also saying he was volunteering for an environmental club. Maybe that had to do with it, too. But a few months later, he came to another meetup, and I remember asking him how it was going, you know? And he was being really vague. Kept changing the subject. He just wanted a ride. Kind of like he wanted to get his mind off of something. And after that, nothing. He stopped coming to the meetups. So that's the last time I saw him. Several months ago, I thought maybe he made himself scarce because he got really involved with that club. I think he said The Shining?
The Sharing.
So he didn't have time for the meetups or for hanging out. So those are the dangerous people?
Oh, no, not them. The Sharing is great. Another group.
Well, it was like he was getting really involved with whatever group, but didn't want to talk about it. Either that, or he got really involved with some girl and didn't have time for us anymore.
Yeah, I think it was both.
Sorry, I wish I could be more helpful.
No, this is helpful, but can you let everyone in your bike club know that...
Meetup group.
In the meetup group know that we're really worried about Kyle? Maybe they can all keep an eye out for any sign of him, or if they tell you anything, can you give me a call?
Sure, yeah, of course. Good luck finding him.
Thanks. After making a few calls, it pretty much all went like this, a big nothing burger. It made us realize that Kyle had been withdrawing socially as the investigation was getting more serious. As he had gotten more and more paranoid and more involved with Elizabeth and share the truth.
And we knew that we could call a bunch of people, but by no means did we have an exhaustive list.
We still have a few others to reach out to, but Robin and I are only two people. We can only do so much. We could try to contact every single person we know who possibly has come in contact with Kyle, or Nancy, or Elizabeth for that matter.
Who knows who could have more information, or who could have even spotted Kyle, Nancy, or Elizabeth in public? It's very possible that some among our listeners could have information. And we know that if you're listening, and you're invested in this podcast and believe in what we're doing, you understand how important it is to find Kyle especially, and how much we care about him.
So, we thought, what about a hotline? A number to call? Kind of like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service tip line we called back in the day, but for sporadic phantoms. So, we'd like to introduce what we're calling the Sporadic Phantoms Missing Persons Hotline.
We didn't have a phone line last season, and at one point, we actually told people to stop emailing us.
But again, we have a different strategy this time.
So please, we are asking if you know anything, or if you have seen Kyle, Elizabeth, or Nancy at all, give us a call at 805-364-2251. There's no pressure to identify yourself, and you can remain completely anonymous, but if we hear a voice message that could be relevant, we might play it in an episode. Again, that is 805-364-2251. Our email inbox is, of course, open if you'd prefer to email us, but hearing the voices of other people in the community is much more motivating than just us reading aloud from some email we receive. It lets people know that we're in this together, and hopefully then more people can come forward.
And even if you don't have info, you can always just leave a nice message of support for us. We definitely wouldn't mind.
So, Stevie, how are our listeners expected to look for Kyle if they don't even know what he looks like?
Well, Robin, they'll all need pictures, and not just the blurry ones we've always had on our site, pictures and information.
That's right, Stevie. We intentionally remained hidden before, but that doesn't make sense anymore, so another new addition to the investigation is that we've uploaded documents to our website that we are making available to the public under a section that we're calling the Sporadic Phantoms Dossier.
If this investigation is going to work, you need to be able to trust us. And since we don't have anything to hide, we're going to make as many documents publicly available as we possibly can.
You all deserve some transparency by now.
You can find the dossier on our website under Information About Season 2. As of now, we have some pictures, screenshots, and basic information there, but we couldn't get absolutely everything we hoped to get. Almost immediately after his disappearance, Kyle's social media presence was scrubbed from the internet.
Elizabeth had an Instagram, but she mainly used it to promote BU Now. Well, it's now gone. Does that mean that she herself could have deleted it? Possibly. But if not, it would not have been difficult for a hacker to do it. As for Nancy, she just had a Facebook, which is also now gone.
Still,
We had the presence of mind to screenshot as much as we could right before everything got deleted, before we went to the police.
If you look at the screenshots we managed to get of Kyle's Twitter before he deleted it, you can even see how he withdrew from social media right as our investigation was starting to heat up, and right as he and Elizabeth started to get more serious in their relationship.
Who knows? The more documentation we make available, the better. Take a look. Maybe you'll recognize someone.
This is what season 2 is all about. Collective action.
Of course, we still have some contacts on our list to call, and the next up is...
Oh, Stevie, why didn't we call them sooner?
Because the police already talked to them? Because they don't live in Santa Barbara? And haven't they been through enough?
No, this is important. We absolutely need to talk to them in some detail. And surely if Kyle has reached out to anyone since his disappearance, it would be them.
Hello?
Hi, this is Robin. I'm sorry to disturb you. Is this a good time?
Robin, it's fine. I'm just turning in for the day. What's going on? Have you heard anything from Kyle?
Unfortunately, no. Stevie and I just wanted to know if we could talk with you and Bob about, you know, looking for him.
Hon, we've already talked with the police. We gave them all we could.
We know the police investigation hasn't helped.
You can say that again.
So we're starting to investigate again. And we're starting up Sporadic Phantoms again so we can start searching for him ourselves.
Oh. Do you really think me talking with you girls is going to do much? I'm not sure what else I could say.
Did he tell you to stay quiet about him?
Stevie.
Is that Stevie with you? Hi, dear. No, but we haven't heard from Kyle at all.
We know you must be worried sick. He really hasn't called or left a message or anything?
No, it's just so unlike him to just leave.
That's a shame. Well, you'd think he'd at least contact his own parents to let them know he's safe.
We've tried leaving him messages, but his phone is still disconnected, which I'm sure you know already.
Right. But you're hanging in there?
We're just waiting for him to come back home. But maybe he doesn't want to be found. What else do you girls need to know?
Mostly if you've heard anything new. But also, if we're going to be effective in searching for him, people who may listen to us will need to know more about him and understand how important it is to find him. Well, who better to hear that from than his own mother?
Kyle really has a good soul. He wouldn't hurt a fly. I don't know what's going on with him. He's just so passionate. Whether it's about nature, or cooking, or biking, or his friends, or his family. I just don't understand why he hasn't come back.
Hey. You know what? Wait. Why don't you and Bob come to our studio for an in-person interview? A phone call is too impersonal for this, don't you think, Stevie?
Oh, you know, you're right, Robin.
Oh, I don't know.
We're trying a new initiative and hoping people who listen to our podcast can join in on the search for Kyle with us. If you come in person and talk about him, and, well, if our listeners hear from you, then it could motivate them and give them a more human perspective.
We also printed a bunch of wanted posters. If you want to put them up around town, you can pick them up when you come.
Girls, you really think this is serious? He may just come back when he's ready, right? He's a grown man.
Or he could be in big trouble.
You think it would help?
I do, absolutely. People need to know that we're serious about this, and we all want Kyle to come home.
I'll have to convince Bob to come.
Wonderful. We're at the Sharing, but oh wait, you've never been here, right?
No. Kyle did certainly talk it up, though.
Near downtown, big new community center.
It is a bit of a drive to Santa Barbara.
We'll pay for your gas and mileage.
Please. It would really make a difference.
All right. When do you want us to come?
Well, we are going to release our first episode tomorrow. So how about next Thursday afternoon? Would that work for you?
Not next Thursday. It would have to be earlier. Bob and I are leaving town for a little vacation on Friday morning, and we'll still have lots of packing to do on Thursday.
Vacation?
Just a week in Lake Tahoe. I know we probably shouldn't go too far right now, just in case Kyle turns up. But Bob convinced me that it would be good for us to get our minds off the whole thing for just a little while.
A whole week away. That sounds nice. Okay, then how about before you leave?
Let me just ask. Hold on a second, hon.
Bob? Robin wants to know if we can get to Santa Barbara to talk with them about Kyle for their podcast.
What are they going to do?
So they can find him or get him to come home.
Wednesday.
Okay.
We can drive down Wednesday afternoon.
That's good with us. So next Wednesday afternoon, you're going to come right to the sharing.
What's the address again? Let me write it down.
It's 226 Inwood Avenue.
226 Inwood Avenue, Santa Barbara.
Just come in and talk with Pamela at the front desk, and someone can escort you right down to the basement where our studio is. And we'll have a good talk about Kyle.
Okay. We'll be there.
Fantastic. We're really looking forward to it.
That concludes episode 1 of Sporadic Phantoms, season 2, also known as Sporadic Phantoms, episode 12, The Invitation. Tune in next month for episode 13.
In our next episode, we'll talk with Kyle's parents, who we've invited into the studio.
Think they'll find it cozy?
Yeah, but you can tell that they're really worried about their son.
Let's hope talking with them will help bring Kyle to us.
Special thanks to K.A. Applegate, Aubrey Akers, Julie Becker, Mark Gallagher, Adam Juarez, Naomi McMillan, Alex Platt, Abby Savoy, and Nate Varnado. And shout out to our newest Patreon and Ko-fi supporters, Petra Cat, Dakota Johnston, Robin Schifflin, and TJ Hart 85. Thanks to you, we were able to stock our studio's mini fridge with plenty of seltzers and canned iced coffees.
If you'd like to support our investigation, visit our Patreon or our Ko-fi page, or check out our merch on Redbubble. If you have any information about Kyle, Nancy, or Elizabeth, or anything you think could be relevant to finding them, or if you'd just like to show your vocal support for the investigation, call the Sporadic Phantoms Missing Persons Hotline at 805-364-2251. Or as always, you can email us at sporadicphantoms@gmail.com. If you'd like to engage with us and other listeners, you can tweet at us or join our Discord server. Don't forget to look at the documents we've posted on our website as well, the Sporadic Phantoms dossier, and a little document we have there about engaging with Season 2. All of these links and the dossier are on our website, sporadicphantoms.com.
With the police backing down, we know the only way we can solve this is through this investigation as Sporadic Phantoms, and now as a widespread search. So if you see anything, I mean anything, tell us right away. We're not backing down. We're coming at this with full force, and we cannot wait a moment longer. Together, we can cast a net so wide, there's no way we won't succeed. That's the power of working together. You know, like the sharing says, we can all be part of something greater. Yeah, even you.